I'm excited about today to bring you a message. I've got some help today with a message I want to bring to you. I have no idea how long you will be here. I hope you brought snacks. Some of our visitors said, oh, Lord, let's find a way to get out of here now. It won't be that bad, I promise, because the Lord's here and he's going to minister to you today. By the way, as they're setting up some things, I know what they're doing, and I know you're not paying attention to me, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's pretty cool when you have that insight, you know. On our Operations Christmas Child, those little things that Blade was telling you about this morning, that's for about 80 of the kids' boxes. Now, we're still doing around 300 and something, Miss Karen, aren't we? About 300 and something. 360 for the adults, so just don't think that's where we're at. So we scale back a little bit on the kids, and but we're still doing a great thing. I want to say, I don't know where my wife is. Did she step out? There she is. I'm telling you, she amazes me on the things that she does. Like, you know, I asked her, could we have some time? Because she's always doing Operations Christmas Child. Glory to God, you know. I'm thinking, I'll just go buy the stuff if you'll quit. And but she has went through so much training and has to every year. She gets recertified and all the stuff that she does so that she can be an area drop-off coordinator here at the church and for this area. And, you know, I asked her, did she want to talk this morning? And you know her answer.
Yes.
Yes. Never. And but she did say that she almost thought she wanted to say something. This was last night. I mean, it wasn't nowhere near this morning. And anyway, she does have a heart for it. And I tell you what, we're blessed to have her. I don't brag on her enough, but we're blessed to have her in ministry. Not just Operation Christmas Child, but piano. Come on, somebody's keyboard, nursery, and busy bees. And she's married to me. I mean, glory to God. Y'all are blessed, and she's still married to me. You hear me? Oh, so anyway, thank you, darling, for what you do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Today, I want to bring a word to you today. I got some help. I got some help from Miss Beverly. If y'all know her, she is, I mean, don't pray for her. Pray for Daniel. I mean, pray for Daniel over there. She's a half a bubble off a plum, I'm telling you right now. But she is a blessing to work with and has just a great creative mind. And so the Lord gave me this title, and it wasn't much. And it was the title, Where is God? And all I knew was I was supposed to gather boxes. And I thought, well, I'd like to have a little more information than that, God. And so for a few weeks, I've been gathering up boxes and saving boxes. And so I presented an idea to her a couple, two or three weeks ago. And she said, oh, I'd love to do that. And so today we're going to have some preaching and a little, I'm going to call it a skit, whatever you want to call it. But it's going to hit home. It's going to drive home to you. The title of the message is, Where's God? Where is God? But there's a catch. It's not the question, where is God, that Martha and Mary asked when Jesus was a little late when Lazarus died. Where is God? It's not the where is God when things didn't go your way, when he didn't show up when you thought he ought to be. It's not, God, where were you at when these mass shootings went on? It's not where is God in that sense. The real question is, where is God in your life? Where is God in your life? See, we're so worried about where God isn't. He isn't in someone else's life. He isn't, or he wasn't at a mass shooting. He wasn't here. He wasn't there. But here's the question. Where is he in your life? Where is he to you? You don't need to be worried about where is he to me. But where is he to you? So today, I'm going to answer a couple of questions through this message today. Number one is, what role does God have in our daily lives? I actually reworded the question. I really originally wrote down, what role, if any, does God have in our daily lives? The second question was, what role does God want to have in your life? I also worded that question the same way. What role, if any, does God want in your life? He wants a lot from you. But before we can answer these two questions, we must know that God cares for us. We must know that God loves you. Amen? Before you can share your heart with someone, you got to know that you can trust them, that you love them, that they care for you, right? So I want to start. Are we going to lower these lights or do we know? Does it make you any difference? You're just like a willow tree. You don't really. She is just like awesome. Can we lower these lights out here and leave the stage lights on to present a little bit better? So we're going to start from right here. And I want you to pay attention. These are just little short episodes, if you will. So I want you to pay attention to what's going on here.
Hey, girl. Hey. Yeah, I was waiting for you to call. I knew you'd be calling here in a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I went to the doctor yesterday. Yeah. It's cancer. But it's just stage two. So we think we got it early enough. And yeah, I'm real scared. I'm not going to lie. I did. I cried all night. But you know what? I still trust him. I still trust God. I don't know who holds my tomorrow. But I know he's holding me. I know where I'm going. So I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to trust him. That's all I can do. Yeah, okay. I'll talk to you later, girl. All right. Talk later. Bye-bye.
You know, all of us have been faced with some adversity, a trial, something we didn't know how we were going to get through it, and we have God as a big part of our life, just right here with us, right beside us. He's the main thing. I've heard more people call out to God in adversity than when they're not in adversity. I know we got some holy people that say, no, I'm with God all the time. Okay. Problem is, that's generally not the case. There's a couple of scriptures I think I want to do here. Isn't it terrible when you don't know how to work your iPad? There we go. Hunter taught me well. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, the Bible says this, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, watch this, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Where is God to you in the middle of your trial? When things are going wrong, not the way you had planned, when your life doesn't fit the script that you had in your mind that it should be for you as you grow older, where is God to you? Don't worry about where God is. He's not lost. Come on. He doesn't have to have a heavenly GPS to find out where he's at or where he's going. He's already been where he has been, and he's already been where he's at, and he's already been where he's going. He's omniscient. He's already there. Where is God to you? Is he a big part of your life? Let something bad happen, and he's a big part. God, we need you. We hold on to God. We elevate God. We get better at church attendance. We get better at reading our Bibles. We get better at worship. We get better at praying. Come on, somebody. Where's God? He's front and center. Well, he should be. Here's the deal. God cares for you. When you're going through something and when you're not going through something, God cares for you. Matthew 11 and 28 says this. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's what the Lord says. Is he concerned about you? Yes. God wants to be a part of your life. He wants to be so much a part of your life. When you get downtrodden with life, he says, if you'll come to me, I can give you rest. He wants to be in all of the decisions that you make. He wants to be with you when you're weary. He wants to be with you when you're refreshed. He wants to be with you when everything's going wrong, and he wants to be with you when everything's going right, because he cares for you. If you're going through something today, know that God, the God we're talking about, this God, he's just not a big God out in a big universe that doesn't care for you, that doesn't know you. He loves you, and he cares for you. In Matthew 10, 29, the Bible says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them, the sparrows, falls to the ground apart from our Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Some of you, that doesn't take up a lot of space in God's brain. Amen, and me. Come on, somebody. Verse 31 says, though, do not fear, therefore, you are more valuable than any or many sparrows. Why is that in the Bible? Why would that, who cares? God cares. God wants you to know that he takes the simplest things that doesn't seem to mean a whole lot. If you're a young man in here, maybe some of you redneck ladies, you probably went out with your BB gun and killed sparrows. Come on, somebody. Did you know God knew when that sparrow fell to the ground? Well, the Bible says, now you're on a guilt trip, aren't you? Oh, man. Shouldn't kill all those little sparrows. He knows when the least of the birds fall to the ground. The idea here is, if he knows that about the least of the birds, how much more does he care about you? How much more does he want to be involved in your life? If he's involved when the sparrow falls, don't you think wants to be involved in your life in every decision? When things are good and when they're not good? He wants to be involved. If we let God be involved, can I tell you that your life wouldn't be better? You're still going to have trials and adversity. The difference is God will give you strength in those adversities, in those trials, in those tribulations. You'll be able to walk right through those because God is with you. God is front and center. You've made him front and center in your life. It's a big, big difference when you turn your life over to God. Oh, I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved, preacher. I've been saved for 40 years. Okay? Where's God in your life? Sometimes salvation just means we got saved a long time ago and God's nowhere. We just wanted God so we don't go to hell. I just don't want to go to hell. Sounds like a bad place. Give me enough God so I don't go there. Next scene.
Where is my list of things to do? Where is it? Oh, goodness gracious. I've got so much going on. Okay, let me get here. I've got to get organized. Oh, goodness. Let me call her real quick. Whew, just exhausted. Oh, hey, girl, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, yeah, I'm just trying to get organized. I've got so much to do. I just don't even know where to begin, though. I've got so much going on. I know it. I'm so glad that I was able to get together with all of y'all. I mean, after I'm cancer-free, after 4 long years of treatment, I'm so excited that I got to get together with y'all. And honestly, I don't know what I would have done without y'all. I mean, I couldn't have made it without y'all. I mean, I just couldn't have got there without my friends. I really couldn't have. And so I just wanted to, just go ahead and mention that real quick. Now let me get back to my list here. Oh, goodness. I did. I took your advice. I did. I took your advice. And I decided that I needed to do some things just for me. Yeah, just for me. Just for me. So anyway, I'm going to take care of myself now. I forced myself to go and get a facial and a massage already. I took care of that. Don't you worry. And I've already scheduled my appointment for my Botox and my lip filler. I cannot wait. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. Did I tell you? Did I tell you about my job? Yes, I got that promotion I've been wanting. I sure did. Sure did, I got that promotion. Let me just tell you. I mean, I'm not trying to brag or nothing. I just want to tell you about my blessings. But with that extra income coming in, and with Joe's business doing pretty good, we are living the life. I mean, it is so right. Y'all are going to have to come out and get on the lake with us one weekend. Yes, girl. BYOB. Oh, we're going to have so. It's going to be great. It really is. I tell you, though, I do. I stay real, real busy all the time. Mm-hmm. Yep. But listen. Yeah, these kids. It's the kids. They keep me running and running. I'm looking at my list of things to do right now. And I'm just checking things off. I'm so glad you asked. Girl, they are both thriving. Okay, first of all, Adam. Let's talk about Adam. Adam got a full-ride football scholarship to play for the Arkansas Razorbacks. Oh, I know. I know it's not Ole Miss. I know, but... I know, but the Lord said we would have trials. And so I think Adam's going to do great with it. I really, really do. And, what is it? Woo Piggy. Whatever they say. I don't know. So, yeah. And then, Susie Beth. She got engaged to a doctor. A doctor. She's going to marry a doctor. That's right. She is. She's marrying a doctor. They are going to get married. They're going to have this huge, big beach wedding at his house in the Hamptons. Yes! And I cannot wait to get started with all the wedding planning because it is going to give me so much content for my TikTok page. I mean, yes, girl, I have over 10,000 followers now. I mean, have you not been on there watching me? Girl, you got to get on there. Yes! Oh, speaking of TikTok, girl, have you heard about Tanya? Girl, let me just tell you, she's at it again. She has at it again. She's going through a divorce. She done lost her job. Lost her job. I mean, but look, it might be ugly of me to say. I don't mean to be ugly. But I mean, at what point does she start to say, okay, that's her fault? Like, come on. Like, please. far be it from me to be judgy of people, but she really needs to get off of social media and pay attention to her family. Yeah, and you know what else? It might help if she would come to a Bible study every now and then. I mean, it's not like I haven't invited her so many times. I've invited her to come, but no. So anyway, what's that? Well, yeah, I told you I was tired. I mean, I'm just trying to stay over here in my little lane, and maybe I am tired. Maybe I'm really exhausted. I don't really know. Maybe something's missing. I don't really know. Something's off, but I'll get over it. It's fine. It's really fine. Look, I have got to get dressed for the Magnolia Sisters Fall Ball and Bake Off. Everybody who's anybody is going to be there. I am not going to miss it. Am I going to see you there? Okay, love you. Bye.
Now y'all know why we need to pray for Daniel. Fits the part, does she not? You see what's happening. Man, when things was going bad, all we saw was God. A few years later, it's hard to even see God in our stuff, in our life, in the mix, because we begin to say, I'm good. I only needed God for a little while. Where is God in your life? We only need him when things, when we can't handle the things, when we can't fix it, but when they're able to be fixed, when the doctors can do this, and God's just somewhere. So what role should God have in our daily lives? What should he have? I'm not asking you what he has. I want to know what role should he have. Well, let me just give you some insight from Scripture on what role God wants to have or should have in your life. Number one. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, some of you and me and whoever else in the building chase things. If you're a real man, you probably chase things and money. It's in you, by the way. God put it in you to be a provider. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek ye first, not third, not when there's time, but first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek more than I want to go to heaven. Seek his righteousness. When you get to heaven, you're going to be righteous. He wants you to seek his righteousness here, while you're living in among the unrighteous. But you cannot get to righteousness or live close to that here without God being sought first. It'll never happen. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. Hopefully you recognize where I'm going with this. This is one of the Ten Commandments. You know those little 10 laws that you kind of live by? You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath, Verse 5, and you shall not bow down to them or serve, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. You know, there's a consequence with this particular commandment that's spelled out very plainly. Let's read it. Visiting the iniquity of your fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation, to those who hate me, to those who push God aside. You're not only rejecting God, but you know what you're doing? You're setting up the third generation and fourth generation of people to be afflicted, if you will. God says he wants you to love him. I have a plan for you. I'm a jealous God and I got to be first. I can't be second. I can't be somewhere in the mix. I can't be just when you're having a problem. I've got to be first. My daddy would say it this way if he were here preaching, and he wouldn't be, I can tell you. He'd say, God don't play second fiddle to nobody. He ain't in the second band. He's not the runner up. He's first or he's nothing. He's a jealous God. Think about this. Now, I'm going to pick on you because you're sitting here. My wife wasn't that jealous over me when we first started talking and dating. Now, she come around. Don't y'all get any crazy ideas. She come on around. She wasn't that jealous for me. She could really have cared less, or she acted like that for sure. She had me convinced. Come on, somebody. You don't know how many dollars you'll spend on roses and going out to eat and going to the movies when you're trying to get their attention. First time I asked her out, you know what she told me? Can you believe what I'm fixing to tell you? She said, nope. I've already got a date. Well, shame on her. You know I love you. It took a minute. I was jealous. What? I mean, you don't really have a boyfriend. I don't really have a girlfriend. I mean, this ought to be just like, I'm here. Right? I mean, I'm here. What are you waiting on? She wasn't interested. I was jealous. Why not me? Come on, watch this. I'm going to go somewhere. Why not me? Well, you know what I did to try to win her affection? Everything it took. What do you want to go do? I'd like to do that. Knowing in your heart, you really don't like to do that. I'd like to go down to the pond at the city park and watch the ducks. I don't care nothing about no duck. Just shoot it and eat it. But if you want to go watch them, I like going to watch ducks. You want to go riding around up and down the strip? No, okay, I'll go ride around up and down the strip. Oh, you'd like flowers? I'd like for you to have flowers. Come on, somebody. Yet, we don't woo God like we do people. We don't try to impress God. Which you can't, but you get the idea. You don't go out of your way so that you will draw affectionately closer to God. You say, well, Lord, I went to church and I gave a dollar in the offering. Lord, I signed up to teach. I mean, what more do you want, God? You know I got to have a living. You know I got to make money, right? You know God, he knows that, right? I read it to you earlier in Matthew 6:33. Seek you first. Proverbs 16:3 says this. Commit your works to the Lord. That's your actions, what you do. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Notice you're going to start thinking correctly. You're going to be thinking and operating with God in the center. It's very cloudy right now. It's hard to get a signal in because you got all this stuff going on. You definitely want to get your social media likes up. How many followers do you have? You know those people on there, right? You're thinking, why do they have any followers? You have all this stuff that gets in the way. And the Bible says, wait a minute. We should commit our works to the Lord. What do you want to do in my life? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you have in mind for me? Psalms 139 says, and 17 says this. This is what God says about you. Watch this. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them? If I could count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Do you know God has thoughts about you? Well, that's pretty cool. I wanted my future wife to have thoughts about me. She wasn't. God has thoughts about you. You know, when you're down and out and when you're in engulfed in all of life, you know God has thoughts about you? You know, when you're on the mountaintop, God has thoughts about you. When you're walking through the valley, God still has thoughts about you. When you mess up, God still has good thoughts about you. Where is God? Do you say, I've went too far, I've got too consumed with life, and I don't even know where God is? See, it happens. You don't mean to. You don't mean to stay on Facebook for 2 hours. You don't mean to scroll Marketplace for 3 hours. You don't mean to take goofy pictures of yourself and put it on TikTok. You don't mean to over and over, but then you get used to it because a few people like what you post. And you say, I must do more. And all of a sudden, we have this clouded view, and God is somewhere over there because we don't have time. There was one. That says ministry. Well, that's about God, isn't it? Yeah, if God is somewhere in your life. Where is God in your ministry? You know, some people do ministry and don't pray. Do you know it's only like 15% of the pastors in America that actually pray more than 5 minutes a day? I love you, but I don't know how to deal with y'all if I don't pray for you. Come on, somebody. Y'all got to loosen up. Y'all got to loosen up a little bit. You got to... Where's God? He's got to be first. Ministry second. Doing God's work is behind seeking God. I don't know if you're picking up what I'm putting down. God's got to be first. He cannot be second. He must be first. Come on, Beverly.
Why do I feel so empty? I have everything that I've ever prayed for. I just don't get it. But something's just wrong. It's all too much. Is this what I've reduced you to? Oh no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Lord. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me for taking you out of my life, my daily life. I want you right back in the front and the center, right where you belong, Lord.
Acts 17:27 says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You can get bogged down in life, but I'm telling you, God is as close as a whisper of a prayer. God is as close as you calling out his name. He's that close. It says in verse 28, for in him, not in these things, but in him we live and we move and we have our being. We have our self-worth in him, not in things. This stuff will fade away. Solomon said it's vanity of all vanities, the life, this going after stuff without God. In him we live and we move and we have our being, as also some of your own points have said, for we are also his offspring. We should be so much like Christ that we're going after God and these other things don't get in our way. Jeremiah 24:7 says it this way, then I will give them a heart to know me. I think we should pray as a Christian community, give us a heart to know you. Not know about him. I can read the Bible and know about him. The devil knows about him. Demons know about him. Come on, somebody. The fellow that killed Charlie Kirk knew about him because he was evil against good. You can hold your own opinions. And I will be their God. Let me back up. He says, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and they shall return to me with their part of a heart. With the whole heart, your whole existence. This word heart means, it doesn't mean this beating thing. It's your spirit, your heart, your whole being, your life, what you do. Return to him with everything you are. And he says, I'll be your God. I'll be your God and you'll be my people. But you got to do something. You got to give me your whole heart. Because he's a jealous God. He doesn't want part of you. I didn't want part of my wife. I didn't want to just date her on the weekends and she go back home to mom and daddy during the week. I wanted her all the time. I wanted her to have my whole heart. I wanted her to have everything I am. And I wanted her to be mine. Do you know God's way more in love with you than I ever was my wife or I ever will be? He wants you to give him your whole heart. And in closing, can I get just a little music playing right there? In Jeremiah 29:12, the Bible says this, and I love this part. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You see your part? Call upon God. Go and pray, and he'll listen. And you will seek me and find me when you search with me with all of your heart. Are you having trouble finding God? Maybe you're just searching for him with part of your heart. There's some things you don't want to turn loose. You say, but God, I don't really want to turn that loose. And where are you, God? Where is God to you? Is he that God? that you want to give your whole heart to? Is he the God that you can jump in with both feet? Is he the God that you can jump in the water knowing you can't swim, but knowing and trusting and believing that God will help you? Where is God? Is he the God that you can take a step of faith, a leap of faith into something that's unnatural to you, a new ministry or something, and you step into it and say, but I don't know how to do it. And God says, trust me with all your heart. Trust me with all of your heart. Can you find Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, please? Several years ago, some of you heard this story. I want to tell it again. It's fitting for the moment. Several years ago, I was pastor at this church. Billy, we wasn't that big then. Had a lot of struggles. I was wondering where God was, and then I was wondering where I had put God. Where is God to me? And I was troubled in my spirit. We had a mission trip. Me and some guys here and some guys from Monticello, and we went on a mission trip to Arizona. And the whole time I just was troubled in my spirit months before I went and until I got out there, and I didn't know why. And I got out there and I was in this little church in the desert, Fonda. Had just two little rows, and they were probably about from here over. No air conditioning. It was in the desert. It was just nothing. Open the windows and doors. And I remember some of us guys that was on the mission trip to rewire the church so they could have Sunday school classes. We had met in the sanctuary, a little sanctuary, met there, and we were praying. I was trying to find God. Oh, not that he was lost. I was trying to find God for me. Where are you at? Where have I put you, God? Come on, somebody. And in that little church, I remember we prayed, had altars, we prayed. I got up and I was sitting about right here, and one of my dearest friends, my section presbyter at this moment, at this time, Brother Jim Bells, sat down beside me. And we began to share, and I began to share some things with him. Simple things. He was so wise. I shared my heart. And he said, oh, you just need to read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Well, I knew that in my head. I know that. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Do all that stuff. I said, it can't be that simple. I've been wrestling with this thing for 2 months, 3 months. And God, you brought me all the way out here for somebody to tell me something they could have told me over the phone? Come on, somebody. Let's see that verse. Trust in the Lord with, ooh, whoo. The key word, three letters, all. With all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And next verse. And all your acknowledge him and he'll let you fall on your face. He'll direct your paths. When though? When are you going to direct my paths, God? When I give you my whole heart. When I know it's you and not me. Come on. See, we're trying to get to God without God. We're trying to experience God with no God. We're trying to experience God with just part of our heart, and we want to be in all these other things with the rest of our heart. But where's God to you? If you're having trouble finding God, may I suggest to you it's not God. May I suggest to you that maybe you have given part of your heart to something else? Maybe a bunch of something else. Just maybe. It really ain't God's fault. Where is God? to you. Here's the thing. Only you can answer the question. And only you can answer it truthfully. When you're not truthful with yourself, there's the problem. Did you hear what I said? When you're not truthful with yourself, there's the problem. I want to encourage you as you leave here today to find God. I told you how you can find Him. You call on Him, you pray, and you seek Him with all of your heart. You acknowledge Him, then you'll see Him start directing your path. I pray this message has spoke to you today. When I asked the Lord, how do we want to end this service? I got zero answer for a day or two. Then I asked, Lord, how you want to end this service? This is what I believe He spoke to my heart. As a challenge to individual people. Because see, this is, you seeking Him with your heart is not your wife or your husband's or your children's or your pastor's or your best friend's decision. It is not that. It is your decision. It is your heart that has to follow Him, not someone else's. It's not because you're made. It is your heart and only your heart. And you get the choice to decide whether you're going to do it with part of the heart or the whole heart. So here's what I want to do to close. Right where you are. Right where you are. I don't even want you to get up. Right where you are, I want you to make an altar. You can bow your head. You can turn around your chairs. I don't care. I want you to be right where you are. And we're going to take just a moment. I want you to take just a moment and find out, where is God to you? Where have you put God? Is He God? Is He God? Is he God? Or is He God? These are the two options, by the way. I guess I could do this. This is the option. He's everything or He's nothing. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God would so prick our hearts today. Lord, we'd have a self-examination of where are You in my life? What have I put in front of You, God? That would reduce You to anything but first. Father, challenge us today. Holy Spirit, work on every individual heart individually. Lord, we thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for Your anointing in this place. Lord, I need an anointing to preach Your word. Beverly needed an anointing to act upon Your word. And Lord, we need an anointing to receive Your word. Lord, let Your anointing be so heavy in this place that we find before we leave these doors where God is to me. Thank You, Father. Start in us a fire. Burn in us a fire from the Holy Spirit. That people would not have to wonder if God is in front and center of our life. They would automatically know We call upon you today, God. We lean on you today, God. And we fully expect you to lead our paths when we cry out to you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says amen. I pray you think about this message for the rest of your life. Where is God to you? Where is God to you?